Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Madam. Also, shall I just finish your breakfast, just so I can breakfast? But I think we have to continue the work that we are supposed to be doing. We will now allow CGE to give us a break.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good morning to the National Committee. And I'm not sure, Chair, that I should start with introducing the Commissioner. Before I do that, Chair, let me just put a disclaimer first to say what the NTCG Commissioner said, you can introduce them to the committee. And then you come here next time we really try and trim our dedication to this committee. But I think it's important the new member commissioners who started in January and some started in June this year, and therefore it's important for us to introduce them to the committee so that the committee know the type of commissioner that they work with. That is the reason why we thought the entire commission. The commission is made up of 12 commissioners, in the morning 11 commissioners, 16 commissioners, and then therefore it's important for us to introduce them. I'm very sure that I'm the chair of the commission for gender equality. We'll do it in the next athletic matter because the CEO is just sitting right at the beginning of the year, so we're going to go clockwise to introduce ourselves, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. My name is KJ Zomayem, and I'm the CEO for the commission.
Morning, committee members. My name is Fundi Sirem Zomande, but everybody calls me Fundi. I'm the new commissioner.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Togo Mpumlwana. I'm the deputy chairperson of the CGE.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Wallace Mpoto. I'm a member of the commission. Basically, I'm responsible for the North Cape.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Janine Hicks. I'm a commissioner of the CGE.
Morning, members. My name is Nomalini from Akazi. I am commissioner for the CGE.
Good morning, members. My name is Mbui Fello Water. I'm the Person Commissioner of the Commission for Gender Equality.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Bindi Sobashe, the Commissioner for the Commission.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Nancy Sibasha. I'm one of the commissioners that has just started in March. Thank you very much.
Anbarani, Commissioner of the Mugwa, who's part time commissioner. I am also a new commissioner. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Dula Manal. I'm a commissioner of the SPG.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Mosabi Budu. I'm the chief additional officer of the commission.
Morning, members. My name is Avrapo, director of the research department at the commission of the NECON.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is John Clare. I'm the Health Department of Education and Information.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will request the members of the Chair just our presentation is going to be in two phases. I'm going to make the introductory comments, and then I'm going to ask the CEO of the Commission to do the presentation on the other performance plan. We're going to actually ask the Chief Executive Officer to actually attach the type of presentation.
May I ask the three of the committee introduce themselves as well, starting from me.
I'm the Education System Democratic Party and not doing an excellent thing in school system for the union.
My name is Patricia Turam, the
name of the I didn't get the name of the staff member. So I'm
very lovely. Okay. Is that better? Yeah, okay. Kieran Dundee. Her name is Dundee. Kieran, short and Shane, Australia. Thank you. My name is Patricia Turam, I'm the member of the
African Central Morning, I'm Ms. Robinson. I am a member of the Democratic Alliance, and I'm very happy to be back in this committee after an absence briefly, but I'm familiar with some faces, and it's great to be here.
Hi everyone, my name is Martha Machesi. I'm a member of the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Marvin Duff, and I'm from the African National Congress. I'm also the only man on the
committee. Good morning, members. My name is Lokul and Shemuti Akesh from Bank of Democratic Movement and New York.
Good morning.
My
name is Kundi Akengo. I'm from the Minister of the Engineer of the Ministry.
Good morning, I'm Crystal Yemendal, a leadership committee.
Good morning, I'm the leader of Obata and the Court of Records.
Good morning, Commissioners and Honourable Members. My name is Jacques Malafon, Minister of Communications and Media and Information.
I'm not sure how to shift more to start. My name is Laura. I'm actually with the Commission for Gender Equality.
We
Laura Sadia, I'm an intern with the Commission for Gender Equality.
Here is Jackson, I'm an intern with the Gender Commission Policy.
Good morning, my name is Lasha, and I'm PA in behalf of the SF.
Good morning everyone, my name is Megan and I'm from PMG.
Good morning, my name is Commissioner. My name is Elmarie Jewis and I'm here on behalf of the Office on Institutions Supporting Democracy, OINC.
Thank you.
Good morning everyone, PGE.
I'm Sandy Memera. A member of ASP and the chairperson of the women of the women in presidency. And I can say thank you very much for you people coming through today. I hope you're going to be sharing our time, our age, and again from each other.
It's much appreciated. Thank you very much, President. It's much appreciated. I'm going to help you to make the meeting necessary from the office of the chair and the commissioners. We all know that the Commission for Gender Equality set out this constitution was taken in 81 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa amongst the six independent institutions. G to the Commission for Gender Equality, and we have those under the source who are going to focus on the Commission for Gender Equality. And in terms of the Constitution, the Commission for Gender Equality is an independent institution subject to the Constitution and the law, and we do our work impartially and to make sure that our powers are fair, they are all opposed, and there is no person or state in terms of the Constitution that may interfere with the functioning of the Commission for Gender Equality. As we must also stress and emphasize that the Commission for Gender Equality is accountable to the National Assembly, and we must report on our activities to the National Assembly in terms of the performance of the work that we do. So at least once a year, but also we also affect the committee to call us, or whatever there is an issue, or whatever issue to call us, or. And in terms of constitution, I mean, we have to protect the full agency of gender equality to be responsible for that. And in terms of Section 187, Section 2 of the Constitution, the Commission for Gender Equality has the power as regulated by the Commission for Gender Equality Act as amended to perform our function, some of our functions include the power to monitor, the power to investigate, the power to conduct research, and the power to educate, lobby, advise, and report on any issues that relate to gender equality in the Republic of South Africa. In terms of how we do our work is grouped in terms of our third category, some might say 20 categories, but we do monitoring evaluation in relation to gender equality matters. We also do investigations that relate to gender equality matters. We also conduct education and information on gender equality matters, conduct research, lobby and advice. We also do liaison activities that relate to gender equality matters. We focus on organizations that do like-minded work, like the Commission for Gender Equality. We also serve on other statutory forums established in terms of statutory provisions of our legislative regime. We also have our own internal administration that we to carry. We also, as a commission, do litigation and court monitoring that relates to gender equality matters. Obviously, we did the monitoring in Mpumalanga. So we in Gauteng and Transkei. And also do international work, issues that relate to gender equality work, international instruments. We also do mediation, conciliation, negotiation. That's what the EPG Act mandates us to do, those matters that relate to gender equality. Also partner with like-minded institutions. The Commission for Gender Equality is established in terms of the CGE Act of 1996 as amended last year. It actually provides functions, that actually provides functions and powers of the Commission for Gender Equality, what are required in terms of that particular act to monitor, evaluate the practices of any of your state, any level, any central body, any public body, including private institutions. We are also, in terms of the CGE Act, authorized to make any recommendations to Parliament on any cases in relation to monitoring evaluation in relation to gender equality matters. The Act also mandates and empowers us to carry out education and information programs that foster understanding of gender equality matters in the Republic of South Africa. The CGE are also tasked to review laws and policies that affect gender equality. That's why we have a presidential officer located within Parliament just to check the legislation that goes through the parliamentary processes, whether they're gender sensitive or not. The Commission for Gender Equality will also have a duty to investigate any gender-related issues. We can do that on our own accord, we can also receive a complaint. We also empower the Commission for Gender Equality to resolve the dispute through mediation, conciliation, and negotiation in terms of the GDA. SPG receives that complaints have been referred to us, but they fall on other institutions that support the democracy. We always refer the complaints to the Human Rights Commission and the Public Protector and any other relevant body. The Act mandates us to do so. We, as a commission, have wide powers of search and seizure, and we can appeal at any weaknesses when investigating complaints, we are together and we are competent. In the past 2 financial years, we've actually made sure that those who don't want to actually provide information to the Commission for Gender Equality and the subpoenas, they can actually appear before the Commission. Section 88 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa is very important to members. I was anyone to approach a committed court to enforce the right found in the Bill of Rights. Additionally, those powers also empower us to actually, as the Commission for Gender Equality, to take any case to court to represent our complaint. CGE has well as a duty capacity to monitor South African compliance with international instruments. And we should really ensure that Inside instrument yesterday's agenda had it ratified by the public and actually implemented according to the provisions of the potential excellence. Now the commission must as well chair maintain practicable close lines in the institution that deal with gender equality itself. So the Act provides for that, but in some cases we need to work in partnership with the particular committee to deal with gender equality matters, as much as we are accountable to the committee, but the instance is always to work together to ensure the drive gender equality forward. Again, the Commission for Gender Equality as well is also embodied by the promotion of equality and prevention of unfair discrimination act, known as TEPUDA, to institute proceedings in the Equality Court on behalf of any other person. In this sense, is where the presiding officer decides to refer the matter to the Commission. The case can also actually ensure that we will remove it in a short period of time. TEPUDA as well places a duty on the Commission to assist complainants to launch complaints and conduct investigations when necessary. SPG as well, there are other legislation, for example, the promotion of equality and prevention of unfair discrimination, EPIPUDA, mandates the CGE to sit on the Equality Review Committee, the chairperson of the Commission for Gender Equality, the Equality Review Committee. Again, when there is a need for the field of vacancies at the IEC, the Commission for Gender Equality, the IEC Act provides that the CGE, the Human Rights Commission, the Public Protector, and the Chief Justice will actually be involved in the selection panel, the selection panel of the IEC, and the CGE as well sits in that selection panel. And again, the CGE, the Demarcation Board Act, provides that the Commission for Gender Equality Commissioner, one of the commissioners, will sit there to select and interview the commissioner of the city demarcation board, also to that as the commission, just to ensure that there's gender equality there as well. Our vision as the Commission for Gender Equality was driving towards a society which is free from all forms of gender oppression and sexual inequality. Our mission is to promote, protect, monitor, and evaluate gender equality through undertaking research, public education, policy development, legislative initiative, effective monitoring, and mitigation. We started as commissioners as much as well through the committee to the bond monitoring function that exists between the commission and this committee. We, in our understanding, we understand that the Commission for Gender Equality shares the part of the responsibility of the portfolio committee on women in the presidency in exercising oversight in monitoring the status of women and gender equality in South Africa. Not to get into that, but accountable to the Development Committee. CGE is also expected to account to the Portfolio Committee on Women in the Presidency and furthermore, to also advise the Committee on Gender Equality Matters to the Table Development. I also mentioned, Chair, that in the past we have tabled a number of reports in Parliament, but we have not been sufficiently called to present those reports. We are pleading with the Committee and the Chair when we launched the report with the Parliament that should be called to debate and discuss this report because they also assist in terms of advancing and deepening gender policy discussions in the country. The CGE has an obligation to support constitutional democracy. Remember, we're a constitutional institution as well, through promotion, protecting, and development of gender equality. Therefore, we also feel that this committee as well has a very same role. I think we can work together in ensuring that the two committees are able to advance gender equality in the Republic. And the Commission also has an obligation to involve the Commission in high-level discussions and engagement with regards to gender equality. When we have our own CGE event, we are going to invite the committee to participate in those events, to participate in the discussion and so on. So we will always write to the chairperson to assist us to get that in the particular sector. We also think that we are a great place for the committee to monitor the gender equality initiatives working with us, of all state institutions in cooperation with the CGE. We also feel that CGE and the Portfolio Committee in the Presidency, Portfolio Committee and the Presidency could collaborate with monitoring in respect of implementation compliance with international instruments. We have an obligation to ensure that our country comply with the international instruments, and when we present the report to the committee is the best place to call those departments that are not compliant to ensure that they comply with the national report. That's why we see that relationship has really actually worked together with the COVID. But we have to understand that we are basically accounts to these COVID. We'll never forget that change. In practice, Chapter Refugee and the portfolio community and the Ministry of Women and Defence should be sure that it's not generational dysfunctional. That's one of the issues here that I think this committee needs to actually think about on how we make this not generational dysfunctional. That we ensure that this not generational issues are not too much fault to occur. Chair, let me some points actually rush through the role and responsibilities of the Labour Commission, as you say. When we speak about the Commission, we speak about the Trade Commission. And those commissioners are assisted by the Secretary, which is led by the CEO. The role of commissioners checked in, we have judicial duties as commissioners in relation to the in PMA, plus the GS set up in constitution as well as the Refugee Act. We also provide, that's why it's important that started with the constitution and the law, when you say we're independent, we must also observe all those issues. We also provide overarching leadership and ensure good governance as set out in King 3 on good governance. We also exercise oversight regarding Fiji in the trial in power and function through Fiji committees. We see we also have Fiji internal committees that oversee the work of the Commission for Gender Equality internally. We also, commissioners take the lead in provincial offices as well. We also provide the political leadership in those. We also have our own thematic area that we deal with, substantive issues that we deal with the commission that drives the gender equality agenda. We also initiate and support the with civil society, presidents, national assembles, and political parties. Commissioners have actually mentioned their names where they come from, and we have those 11 commissioners now, and they've actually introduced themselves. So we have the following internal committees that drive the internal working machine of the Commission for Gender Equality, where the Good Governance Committee deals with all good governance issues, which is kept by the Chairperson of the Gender Commission, where the Strategic Plan and Monitoring and Evaluation of our Report Committee, that's the committee that does not work is presented today, chaired by Mamthoko Mulwana. There's another committee that looks at substantive issues that drive the gender equality agenda, which we call Section 6 because in the CGE Act, under Section 6, the Act mandates us to actually set a committee that is going to be an advisory body to the commissioners and the commission. So we will bring in experts to come and actually work with us in relation to that. That's said by the chairperson and deputy chair on international basis. We also have an IT and communication regional committee chaired by Commissioner Hicks. We have a finance committee chaired by Commissioner Mapazi, Dr. Alonso Mr. Mapazi. We also have a legal and complaint submission chaired by advocate Dr. Olusegun Ogbu. We also have a human resources committee chaired by Commissioner Lula Manara sitting far left. We also have the education and research committee chaired by Commissioner Pinky Solas. That's how they've allocated commissioners to provinces, and we felt that commissioners are national commissioners. But for us to do our better, we actually deal with the strategies, we actually allocate commissioners to provinces so that for the case we can be able to do our better. Commissioner Sobasa is a SMK commissioner backed by Dr. Nozomiso Makazi, Commissioner Mbuiso Lopota, who is actually allocated to Limpopo, but is backed by Commissioner Lula Manare, with Commissioner Jim Hicks, who is the Commissioner for Free State, backed by Commissioner Pinky Sobasa, Dr. Nozomiso Makazi, the Western Cape Commissioner, backed by Commissioner Walid Mkotwe, Commissioner Namaswala Mantibogo, also Commissioner for Northwest, backed by Commissioner Mbuiso Lopota, the Commissioner Walid Mkotwe, with the Commissioner for Lady Cape, backed by Commissioner for Dizzy Mandas sitting next to me, with Commissioner Lula Manara, with the Commissioner for Houghton, backed by Commissioner Namaswala Mantibogo, with Commissioner for Dizzy Mandas, with the Commissioner for Mpumalanga, backed by Ms. Bata, Commissioner Bata. We have also Commissioner Pinky Sobasa, the Commissioner for Governmental Affairs by Commissioner Hicks. This would have actually written letters, all the commission premiers as well, and the legislature has notified them about the allocation of the commissioners. I'm about to finish now. I've said, Chair, that we have substantive sections of the committee. These are the issues that will actually put forth the Commission for Gender Equality agenda to say we must have gender equality in culture, region, and tradition. So in focal areas, these are the we also deal, and that focal area is led by Commissioner Barta. We have a focal area on gender based violence. We also have a focal area on facilities, gender based violence led by Commissioner Barta. We also have an area on facility equality and gender equality. Those are the members who were here before. We used to have a committee called Gender and Commerce. And the new commissioner said we cannot promote negativity, therefore must change it to gender and product development. That's why now an area now we have a focal area called Gender Equality and Economic Development, which is chaired by Dr. Nandimiso Mapazi. We also have Education and Health, which is actually led by Commissioner Nandibuo, with the National Gender Missionary Education Instrument led by Pauline Demani. When you allocate commissioners to this, you also take into consideration the expertise in terms of all these societies. The field, and I think I saw this, the whole committee that I saw relates to the whole commissioners. As I said, Chair, we chair some panelist meetings, environmental investigations as commissioners, what are the state mediation, we represent CGA international forums, approve and oversee such policies, and also attend or appeal arising out of complaints. For example, we find that there's a complaint and the complaint is not satisfied with the decision of the Commission for Gender Equality. What normally happens, they can always go to complain with us. The commission position, we can be able to deal with that. We also attend the national and provincial media briefings as well as commissioners also attend higher level engagement such as minister meeting if we're actually requested to meet with them, meet with the president if there is a need, and also make sure that we have international lawyers and organizations to work they should do. For example, now with the Kenyan Gender Commission, the Indian Gender Commission, we always have that working relationship. And we also account each other as commissioners as well. And writing monthly reports, also writing quarterly reports, and then quarterly meeting with the plenary, we are going to share the ones that we do. Because each question is allocated, and then from there we are able to see how we are actually taking the Commission of Gender Equality. Fundamental achievement in the last 3 years, this is very in brief terms, that the Commission has observed that the creation of gender entities in all spheres of government is actually affecting in terms of driving the gender equity agenda. And also, this the signing of all of the main international instruments, convention, declaration, is approved with that system. Also, we have a gender equality framework constitution as a country as well. We have anti-discrimination laws, which are promulgated by the Employment Equity Act, the Domestic Violence Act, the Sexual Offences Act, the Prevention and Combating of Trafficking and Inheritance Act, the Recognition of Customer Marriages Act, the Maintenance Act, the Choice of Payment of Pregnancy Act, the Protection from Harassment Act. We also feel that the awareness of the representation in Parliament and the government is also increasing, Chair. And as a part of the CGE achievement, in this year, for example, in April, we had a national gender summit, Chair, which was going to conclude the report of the summit, and we actually requested the committee to actually call us to present what were the issues that came from that summit. We've adopted the second position paper and some people have been in the controversial paper, but we feel that in the Commission we need to actually ensure that we decriminalize sex work in South Africa and there are enough sex work position paper as well. We actually put our position for the why we're saying that. We have had chair the Employment Equity hearings in the past. We have been calling departments to come and appear before the Commission for Gender Equality to actually assist us and educate us about their own progression in terms of gender equality matters that we organize in private, public, as well as social institutions that actually come before the Commission for Gender Equality. And we have reporters and those reporters have been very important as well. Shall we, as a Commission for Gender Equality, we've actually studied the National Development Plan. The Development Plan and the Commission came up with the National Development Plan to enhance economic development in the country. And according to the 1995 Human Development Report, there was a conclusion that human development, not in gender, is always a danger. Therefore, the Commission, we felt that we need to actually do that issue. In 2001, the study of gender and development concluded that white poverty is such a big gender disparities. That gender inequalities hinder development. And therefore, the CGE made the initiative to do a gender analysis on the NDP. The finding was presented in the subcommittee of the NDP. There was only one request in the government to actually invite us to come and present that report before the committee. Chair, those members who visited us last year, course, you haven't visited the city, maybe 3 years, but it says what you do in commission for gender equality. We took them to the Deca Clinic, and the commission for gender equality was established a new concept called Deca, legal clinics and access to justice. So we go to communities, we engage them, and those have communities in hands and actually there's the complaint. But there is a three-pronged kind of an engagement where we educate them about gender equality, about the first that you do, and also ask them to represent the gender equality complaint. Chairperson, we have political observatory. We realize that we put it down, we produce this big report, and we lodge in the parliament, and nobody reads those reports. What other time is we summarize them, we make them into policies, which we engage in contradictions of policies. The only issue, we use the report to summarize it and actually call it to the issue that the policy and the policy makers should actually attend to. SDG, some of the achievements around working with. Just as I wanted to mention, 1998 SDG was working on youth health issues. That has been done in the short term. Now there are Mazumi, a specialty team of women who are people who believe that they are youth health. I think it's coming back. I think we have a report where the conference we had in 1998. This is also coming back, and we feel that SDG needs to actually work for that. And the issues of women's efficiency is also an issue we're talking with as well. That cross cases as well as temptation against differences, the Bay case, the Maryland case, the Shibubani case, and so on, the institutional court. And we've also produced a number of publications that the committee will also visit our website and actually get an actual can do. What is also important, we're also now engaging with provincial houses of leadership. We've signed a number of understanding with the Eastern Cape House of Special Leadership in Pumalang and Northern Cape, and we're also engaging with the National House, and a lot of people who are coming from some of the places to Ken. What are the challenges affecting the Commission? You see when our Chief Financial Officer said, I think the broad mandate, so the broad mandate is a thing, but we're inadequate funding to deal with gender equality. The low baseline is a source of all these financial rules for the Commission, and it's having impact on our human resources, the type of people that you get in terms of our programs and support services. We really request the chairperson to go hand on this one and assist us. And we request the procurement and parliament of the members to assist to ensure that CG receives adequate funding. When people define gender, the only thing that gender is just one thing. They're not aware that gender can cut off on everything. And then those people are actually allocating money. Most of them, the relationship with gender is one item, rather than the item that cut across all the important issues that we have. Therefore, the department we have cannot actually deal with patriarchy, which is one of the driving issues of gender-based violence. Gender-based violence, we have to deal adequately with international instruments such as Beijing, Platform for Action, CEDAW, the Resolution 1025, Resolution 1890, the Queen's Resolution, Arab Resolution 1025, to gender equality matters. All the EU generated protocols like some declaration on the rights of women in Africa, the African Charter on the rights of women in Africa, so on and so forth, the gender and development protocols, the development protocol, and so they speak about 50-50. So, also, chapter 3, the time is necessary to be finalization of the report of the actual committee on the review of the different institutions. The steps to consider was aimed at the reform strategy. But whenever we talk about this, you say, and what about the data report? So those are the issues. And they have spoken about the high levels of GP that we need to deal with. And also mentioned that the report that before Parliament, there's actually a lot of the Parliament would really require the committee to call us so that we can actually deliver it on those reports. Because also some of those departments, they have actually investigated each of those reports, the procurement are not calling us, and we really request the chair to actually assist us, to be chairman to assist us in terms of making sure that those reports get debated, get actually presented before the committee. In conclusion, Chair, as you have seen, CGI has a broad mandate to promote, protect, develop, and achieve gender equality. With a broad mandate to advise, to lobby, conduct research, provide education, monitor the compliance, and conduct investigations into gender matters. Chair, the cancer, my PA is from Limpopo, we always put those issues. So it's She said Juma should not say thank you, Juma. So, again, thank you very much.
So, I'm not sure that we're not allowed to see what you do here, and then you're cool, and then you're supposed to call you back.
Okay, can you continue so that when we pose questions, we address the most different questions?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. My presentation is going to look at the strategic plan for the Commission and specifically zoom in into activities that we will be undertaking as the Commission for this current financial year of 2014-2015 that started on the 1st of April. I will then try and look at examples in terms of the actual activities that are attached to some of the strategic objectives and the past strategies that we will be dealing with. Over the past years, as the Chairperson has indicated, the Commission has really tried to make a concerted effort to ensure that we have our plans in such a way that they still remain relevant. They look into upcoming issues that are responsive to challenges that we have as far as gender equality is concerned. Just to give a broad highlight, just to indicate that when we undertake our strategic plan, as the Commission, there are quite a number of issues that we also look into. We look into the fact that we are in a society that is scourged by gender inequality. We know that there are quite a number of gender rights violations out there. But we look into the fact that we already also have legislative framework that is in place, and we therefore also take into account what government has said to do for itself as far as gender equality is concerned, because then that will give us a way to be able to monitor and evaluate as to whether they are living up to those specific objectives. Obviously, as the Commission, we are watchdog, as the Chairperson has already indicated, so we just oversee through us. I'm not going to get specifically into our mandate because that has been sufficiently dealt with by the Chairperson. Just to give an overview, we are a national institution, and we've got three specific line functions. We've got legal services that deal with complaints. We've got policy and research that undertake our research, and we've got public education and information. Those are drivers, specific drivers for the work of the Commission. And then obviously we do have a support unit, finance, HR, IT, and communications. We have a presence in all the nine provinces. We have six officials in each of the provinces, and we have two line functions in those specific provinces. And we took a decision initially as the Commission. We used to have three line functions represented in all the provinces. However, our research work, we saw that we needed to bring it up to head office because it was becoming too cumbersome to have one research officer based, for instance, in the Western Cape office and really in charge of the whole province and looking at research. So what we've done is to take the whole of research to head office and then zoom into all the different provinces, having a little bit more muscle than just giving us one specific person. So now we are having a legal officer in each of the offices, and we have an education officer in each of the offices, then we have three support administration. Our head office is based at the Constitutional Hill, and that's where most of the heads of all the line functions are. As the Commission, just to give a little bit of background, we have had in the past to go back and look into the Commission for Gender Equality Act and look at the specific things that we are mandated to undertake. And when we got into that exercise and looked into the CGE Act, we saw that in the main, there are really three objectives that we must be dealing with as a commission. And therefore, we came up with three specific strategic objectives that are service delivery orientated, that drive our mandate, and then we have the fourth strategic objective that just looks more internally, and this is more due to the issues that we had previously in the past, and we thought for us to be able to put systems in place and ensure that we have people that can really run with the three strategic objectives that are outward looking, that we must come up with a fourth internal looking strategic objective. The first strategic objective that we came up with when we looked into our act was to say, as a commission, we need to ensure that there is a creation and implementation of an enabling legislative framework that will be able to help us attain gender equality. This, our outcome is more around ensuring that the continuous improvement in legislation and practices to ensure that we advance gender equality. This looks at, I think the chair had indicated, for instance, that we have a parliamentary unit. What the unit does, we look into all the bills that are passing through Parliament from a gender perspective that are able to sort of come up with some improvements and some reviews as far as gender equality is concerned. We look through policies as well, and that those are the strategic objectives that helps us to do that. The second strategic objective that when we looked into our act was really to look into protection and promotion of gender equality, and ensuring that we engage with all relevant stakeholders, whether it's the public, whether it's CSOs, community-based organizations, NGOs, to educate and raise awareness on issues of gender equality, to ensure that we really do some work to challenge patriarchy and stereotypes, and take action against infringements of gender rights through the implementation of appropriate redress, and that's where our legal department comes in, where we then will investigate a series of complaints, undertake litigation. Our outcome from this specific strategic objective is to ensure that we have a society that is educated in their constitutional rights as far as gender equality is concerned, to ensure that we transform behavior and that is necessary to ensure uphold and respect for gender equality, and to ensure effective, efficient application of social justice for victims of gender. The third strategic objective is looking specifically now at monitoring of state compliance with regional and international instruments or conventions that have been ratified by the Republic. So each year we look into all the different international instruments, even the regional ones, and we do our work, monitor and evaluate and see how far government is, and then we are able to then put reports. For instance, for this current financial, for this period, there's going to be FIDO that the country needs in January 2015 to appear before the FIDO committee in Geneva to go and account and put, say, how far have they gone in terms of the obligations and the responsibilities that are contained in FIDO. So as a commission, we always also do our own independent work to be able to say, as government puts its report on the table, to be able to say, we have also gone on the ground, what are the kind of issues that we have found, what are the gaps, and what are the challenges, if ever, and what are the good things that have been done. Our planned outcome for that strategic objective is to ensure that we do a proper assessment of state compliance with regional and international commitments that promote gender equality, and make these recommendations to this Parliament. I indicated that we have a fourth strategic objective that is more internal looking, that helps us to ensure that we put systems that will allow us to drive the three strategic objectives that are service delivery oriented. And that strategic objective is for us to ensure that we build an effective, efficient, visible, sustainable institution that will be able to fulfill a constitutional mandate on gender equality. We do have specific sub-strategies that we put in place to ensure that the strategic objectives that I've just highlighted, we are able to attain them. For creation and implementation of an enabling legislative
we have about 6 sub-strategies that then inform the other activities that we undertake. The first one is to monitor and evaluate the promotion of gender equality and any relevant policies and practices of the public and private sector and be able to report that to Parliament. Specifically under that sub-strategy, we have been undertaking gender transformation hearings where we are calling both government and the private sector to come and appear before us and be able to account to say how far have we gone as far as transformation is concerned and where are we in some of these leadership positions and all that. And the second sub-strategy is to initiate and review for the improvement of legislative framework in all states of government. That's where we really zoom into the actual legislations and of bills that are coming through Parliament and all the different legislatures, and we just put a gender lens to those and make submissions to say what is it that we feel maybe is inhibiting women in that particular bill that is about to be passed. We also conduct periodic performance assessment of priority ministries, state institutions, government departments, political parties, and the private sector on implementation of applicable legislation and policies that impact on gender equality. In the last financial year, one of the assessments that we did an assessment as far as political parties are concerned. We had a report that we've just finalized, and all that we're doing is engaged with a specific political parties, and we were just checking what do they have and what systems they put in place as far as gender mainstreaming is concerned. And we also have a web-based tool. We call it the Gender Barometer, which we say priority ministries because it's not always the case that we can be able to administer some of these instruments or make assessments on all government departments all at once. So we do see every year and decide which specific government departments, for instance, will be engaging with to check how far they're going as far as gender mainstreaming is concerned. And private sector, for instance, this year you will see where we are dealing with some of the private sector institutions as well. The fourth sub-strategy that will be helping us to ensure this implementation of an enabling legislative framework is to be able to evaluate the implementation and effectiveness of the national justice facilities as far as gender discrimination is concerned. This is where we do quite a lot of our monitoring work into all the different justice facilities to see whether they are inhibiting or they are helping to drive the gender equality agenda forward. The sixth one is for us to convene direct dialogues with policy makers at national and provincial level on the recommendations of the reports that we've done. As we have indicated, this is one of the new sub-strategies that we came up with because as a commission, we've seen that over time, we would do and come up with research reports, having evaluated, having assessed and looked into what government does, and many a times we never get time to be able to engage. So what we do is we take those reports and we come up with a policy brief, which is like a 6-page kind of document that we are then able to engage with specific policy makers on some of the recommendations and things that we would like them to take into account as they sit and come up with policies. So strategic objectives 2, the promote and protect strategic objectives. That's how we investigate our complaints to ensure that we identify a proper redress where there has been violations. We initiate investigations of systemic violations of gender rights in the public and private sector and identify appropriate redress. We develop a coordinated program to ensure that we promote gender equality. This is where really our public education and information does quite a lot of workshops, information sessions and engagements on the ground on the rights as far as gender equality is concerned. We initiate interventions for sustainable development and promotion of gender equality by addressing violations in social, cultural, political, economic, security, and human rights dimensions. This is where we zoom into, we always try and prioritize, we look into the challenges that sometimes we also sign MOUs and work very closely with House of Traditional Leaders and Religious Leaders and all that stuff. That's where that specific work is located. And because in terms of our aid, we are also charged to collaborate with all kinds of states, civil society, and other institutions who have a like-minded mandate like ours. And I must say, that sub-strategy is the one that is really helping us to enable and ensure that we reach some of the targets that we have. Because when you look at the nature and how our budget is, it's really very difficult for us to be able to reach on the ground. And the only way for us to be able to reach on the ground is to work very closely with community-based organizations and NGOs that we find on the ground. And that's what helps us to be able to reach have a better reach than what we could be able to achieve. As I've indicated, if you look at where we are located in the metropolitan cities. Our office, for instance, here in Western Cape is here in 132 Adams Street. And that those two officers that are located in that office are responsible for the whole of Western Cape. And many a times when we look at budget constraints, it always becomes very difficult for us to reach on the ground. And therefore, the only way that helps us to be able to get there and ensure that we touch every other South African, as far as gender equality issues are concerned, is for us to collaborate and work together with institutions that are working on the ground. The third strategic objective, like I indicated, is one that looks into state compliance as far as regional and international instruments are concerned. And what we do is to conduct annual review and do audits on state compliance with some of these obligations. Like I indicated, upcoming now, we're going to be having CBO reporting. So we have already done our own work as far as CBO report is concerned. And that report is one of the reports that will also help this committee. We engage with this committee with that report. When ministry comes and they put their country report that they are then going to be reporting outside, the committee will be able to see the work that has been done by an independent institution and be able to gauge how far we've gone. We've got CBO upcoming, we've got Beijing that is upcoming, and we've got MDG that is upcoming. And those are the reports that we have already finalized as far as audits and reviews are concerned, and we are going to be loading those parliaments very soon, and we are then hoping to also then get some engagement with this committee on them. And then under that specific sub-strategy as well, I mean, strategic objective, then we would also want to ensure that we engage and we interact with international bodies. Sometimes we also get an indication, for instance, we had an indication in 2011 from the CEDAW committee, realizing that we are a national human rights institution that is charged with ensuring that gender equality agenda is moved forward within South Africa. And as far, even though they were going to engage with government, they also called us for them to engage with us so that they get a sense of what is that we found on the ground as an objective and independent institution. Under strategic objective 4, we've got 5 plus strategies that help us to try and maintain and ensure that we reach that particular objective of building an effective and efficient institution. To maintain optimal governance and oversight structures and policies between commissioners and the secretariat, to develop a financial management strategy that promotes effective, efficient and economic utilization of our resources, as little as they are, to develop and maintain an IT infrastructure that's able to support the work of the Commission, to develop a comprehensive HR policies and procedures and practices, and ensure that we do reviews throughout, and implement effective communication strategy and policy that is able to promote and enhance a positive public image for the Commission. In terms of the work I've tried as I was going through the different strategic objectives and the sub-strategies, to try and highlight the specific activities that we've been undertaking as the Commission previously. I indicated that we've been doing gender transformation hearings where we've been calling both private sector and public sector to come and appear before us and account as far as gender transformation is concerned. What we will be doing this year is to do specific follow-ups with those institutions, because we have done with the case for them, we've done a report, we've given the recommendations in terms of what it is that they should be doing to ensure that we get to better levels as far as transformation is concerned. And we will be going back to those specific organizations just to check how far they've taken some of the recommendations that we've put forward. And we will still then be engaging further with further institutions as far as those hearings and investigative and transformations are concerned. This year, we're going to now specifically look at tertiary institutions and check what is the kind of curriculum that they have, because we recognize that in as much as you can call employers and be able to engage and hold them to account as far as transformation is concerned, but universities as well, they become a key into for the West Cape, and therefore we are going to be putting our concentration on them to see what are the kind of things that they've put in place and what are the issues that they're dealing with to ensure that empowerment takes place. We do look into submissions on legislation before Parliament. I spoke to that. So that's the work that we do on an ongoing basis. Each and every deal that gets placed before this Parliament, we look at it from a gender perspective, and then we put in a submission in terms of what we think are the positives and where the gaps are, if there are any gaps at all. I have the report on women representation in political parties. In the past financial year, like I indicated, we did an assessment of quite a number of political parties, just to check and engaging on women's representation. We then also monitored elections, and we are now going to have a dialogue with all the different political parties just to engage in terms of what are the kind of things that we have found and what are the kind of recommendations that we think they should take forward to ensure that women representation within political parties is enhanced. Assessment, we did an assessment report on the effectiveness and functioning of the gender-based violence council. We've done that in the past. We put that as an activity that we're going to be undertaking as years go by. And we had an assessment that would be quite happy to engage as well with this particular committee, because probably this committee, one of the things that it will be doing is also to oversee through the ministry the work of that national gender-based violence council. So we will still continue this year to monitor the function, and we've done it for the previous financial year, and we have a report already. As I indicated, we've got a web-based tool that we call a gender barometer. And what we normally do is to get specific departments on a yearly basis that we will then administer that web-based tool on, and we must, it helps us to really assess gender mainstreaming in those departments. It's an assessment that we've been doing over time. So we've got quite a number of reports as far as the National Gender Barometer is concerned. We are still going to continue with our work of monetary costs, and we will then also undertake policy dialogues. We have specific reports that we finalized in the last financial year. One of those, for instance, we looked into the position of gender focal persons and gender mainstreaming. So we are then going to then hold a policy dialogue with all the different departments and the national gender machinery as a whole in terms of what we have found as far as those specific positions are concerned, and whether they are doing anything to really engage and enhance gender equality. Under strategic objective 2, I've just indicated that we do investigations, so we do gender-related investigations. We get those from the public, and if we see that there are things that our own accord, we can then also investigate to a specific matter. We are still going to continue with our process of conducting those legal clinics, as the chair indicated, in terms of going out really to the public and engaging on our mandate and seeing how we can help people advise desks, advise centers out there. And we still plan to have 108 for this current financial year. And what I can highlight out of Strategic Objective 2, which is one of the new programs as well, we have engaged with the NCRF, who is really a forum for these community radio stations. We've entered into an MOU with them, and then they give us a slot on all the different community radio stations where we can then educate the public in a vernacular language on the web of the commission and their rights and all that. I've already indicated that we have reports that are ready as far as CEDAW Beijing platform action and MGGs is concerned. What we will be doing as soon as Women's Ministry puts the country report on the table will be for us to look at what we found on the ground, what it is that they are reporting, and be able to come up with a report that then gives a sense of how far we are, where are the gaps, and where are the challenges. And we are also doing a report using Africa Gender and Development Index, which has been run by the EECA in Ethiopia, in Addis, and we've been engaging with them that come to train us on some of these things. And this is a report that will be able to give us as a country really a clear picture in terms of how far we are as far as gender equality is concerned. It uses, we are able to then, you know, look into all the categories, you know, in terms of instruments just to get a fuller sense of how we are doing as a country. And we are really excited and hoping that. The last report that was done, it was done by the institution called CAL, that is within VAE, and it was done, I think, in 1992. So we've been taking up to then do a follow-up as the commission. And what we do there is then material development. Chair, I'm not going to get into the previous financial year's highlights because I think the report of the chairperson, you know, highlighted some of those. We've just tried to also detail quite a number of reports that we have published, which we are hoping to be able to engage with this committee on in terms of various issues. I've already highlighted the gender focal persons, the political, the appointment of political parties and all that. I'm not going to get into those specific things. As we've indicated, I think as far as our funding environment is concerned, it has really always remained a challenge, and I think that will be clear as the CFO, you know, comes forward to try and dissect some of the costing for a gender commission at this stage. Thank you, Chair.
is basically a cost to deal with the cost of living adjustment, effectively. If you look into the slide, the last slide, you can see that over this period, there has just been growth of under 7% for 2013-14 and 2014-15, and then under 5% projected for the outer 3 years of the MTF process. Effectively, in the detail, you also realize that we have allocated 58% of the overall budget for the current year. The overall budget that we're working on is 67 million, of which 58% will go to the core programs, core PUA. The presentation that the previous commission had, the one that I wanted to attend the sites where a different view organized, but basically, this slide was meant to give an overall picture as to the structure and then some of the city. If you look into this slide, you will see that we carry our way through three programs. We've got the governance, which is a commissioner program. The chairperson of the data has indicated what commissioners do. So we've got specific allocations within the budget for commissioners' oversight responsibilities and support to CDO operations. We also have got the corporate support program, as well as the main course delivery program. And one looks deeper into the budget, one will see as well that the bulk of our budget goes to compensation of employees. And that's also, it goes to that because that's a connection to what we do. And we are a service organization. We are, our services are driven by professionals. We litigate with lawyers. We do research. We need people who are researchers, professional researchers. And that is why that's a connection to that budget question. And as well, another real component within the budget is unprofessional services, key drivers being litigation. We are a litigation organization. We do go to court. We fight for gender equality rights as required by the law. And the CEO's presentation has also shown that we have a presence in 9 provinces. We have offices in Quebec. The chairperson's presentation has shown that commissioners also have got stakeholders within provincial jurisdictions, stakeholders, including stakeholders in legislature and administration in the provinces. So that would necessitate, funding. And then 8% of our budget allocation goes to that, and including even traveling that goes with the core of the city. We've got outreach officers, education officers, people who go to the households, deal with communities, and that requires traveling. Report production and printing is also one of the drivers. We produce material, research material, promotional materials, and those which require printing or drive printing and printing costs. And telecommunication, obviously, because we produce geographical presence across the country, there could be seamless communication among the city offices. And in summary, one can see that over 90% of the television is fixed. The city does not have room to come up with many other programs. I think we've got some strengths. I think the city presentations also emphasize about among the challenges to be the running challenge. And as a matter of emphasis, this has been a historical structure. I think this baseline structure has been standing since in the 1990s. So even in periods preceding the promulgation of the CUDA and other acts. This slide does demonstrate the spread of our budget across the years, looking into itemized by red lines. We have discussed that the conversation of the employees consumes the biggest portion, and it connects better to that in the business level. That's not a budget, and just like representing the actual thing in the previous four financial years. That is demonstrating. The VD has been staying or operating upload in those periods. I think almost by accident there's been a cross fertilization because during those periods we have always had vacancies within the arrangement. There's an approved structure, but because of staff turnover over the years, there have been vacancies created, and the seats have been staying afloat because there was money being transferred from the those vacancies. The money was effectively used to be very overspending, pressing spending activities. So the slide effectively shows that in 2010, 2011, although we have reported a surplus of 2.5 million for the year, then the source of the surplus was basically the fact that they were underspending due to the agency. And if you look across the financial years, you see that there have always been underspending or savings on compensation of employees. And actually, because we really want to, we have the intention to work to a big capacity, there's a decision taken to say that in order for us to we need to fill those vacancies. And by filling those vacancies, we are effectively going to be taking away this accidental benefit we have had previously. The current year, what we are proposing for cooperation, the posting of the ATP that was presented by the CEO, has been costed to 69.9 million. And as we have seen, National Treasury has already agreed to the MTF product to make available 67.2 million. However, as we are doing planning, we noted as well that we have some internal funds available. Funds which we, in terms of TFMA, we are allowed to utilize immediately. These funds which were generated from interest income for 1.7 million. So we have planned to utilize the 1.7 million together with the 7.2 million allocated from National Treasury to pursue the activities that have been outlined in the ETC and our government's plan. And the posting, general posting and spread of the current year's proposed budget. It's summarized, we've got set aside 9.5 million for the commissioner's program, 19.7 million for corporate services, and the bigger chunk, 40.7 million for main service delivery program, and then the same budget has also been split in the blue block. According to strategic objectives, the details will follow in soon slides. But effectively, we have a final budget, or we have planned to utilize 69.9 million rand. Like I think, case that 1.7 million will be coming from internal sources, and 67.3 million anticipated to receive from national budget. And that is the same information. But in a different form, we can see that the same allocation can be dissected by program and by economic classification. We can see as well that 68% overall for the year has been earmarked for compensation of employees, that is for the full process establishment, including vacancies that we have decided to fill those positions immediately to ensure that they will operate to full capacity. And for the year, compensation of employees overall came to 48 million. Goods and services to 20.5 million or 29%. And overall, like we indicated, about 69.9 million is spent for the year. By executive pair of the budget, by strategic objective, this is strategic objective number one. We have summarized the cost at every sub-strategy, and we can see that this strategic objective will consume 8.2 million rand, and the strategies indicate that direct goods and services will be about 1.9 million, salaries 5.8 million, overheads around 500,000. And the relationship as well between compensation of employees and goods and services for this specific strategic objective is 39% goods and services and 71% compensation of employees, compensation of the professionals that we are using as part of our employee establishment. This is just a summary of what the strategy is all about. The federal state, the subscribe will consume 12% of the overall allocation, and employee cost is the main driver. The second sub-strategy building up to the overall PGE cost strategic objectives. The strategic objective number two, costed for 18 million, of which the compensation of employees, with emphasis to say that as well here we have professional working, 15 million about will be on salaries, direct expenses, which is in the main the travel, printing of material and the like, come to 4 million. Office overheads, office run expenses, part of it is around 1 million. And as well, I think the relationship between cost of employees and goods and services is 70-30. And in summary, those are the underlying explanation of the strategic objective is all about. The third one is the strategic objective dealing with international instrument. You know that the UN calendar for most of the international instruments, Beijing, CEDAW, and the like, NDG, there's the reporting season come next 2015, and the CDE is hard at work working around our work on international instruments, researching, developing reports, and the like. The CEOs mentioned AGDI as well as part of this sub-strategy. So as a result, for this current financial year, we have set aside 14 million to pursue those objectives, and as well, emphasis is there that we are using our own resources, and then our own resources have our salaries, and salaries are also in relation to other expenses, 70%. The inward looking strategic objectives, number four, also drives expenditure 29 or 30 million right about, and the price is indicated as well. I think overhead, you can see most of the overhead are loaded in this inward looking strategic objectives. There have been challenges reported. We spoke about the fact that the FUDA has never been funded. Part of the matter is that our baseline budget was determined. The price of our budget was determined in the 1990s, in periods preceding the promulgation of the FUDA. However, the CD has been pursuing some of the obligations of lending the FUDA to the extent possible. So we see that there will be the next slide that I will be demonstrating that terms or things that we aspire to do as mandated by legislation including the FUDA. We'll give the details pertaining to that. And as well, I think it's an undesirable situation or even uncomfortable situation where compensation of employees should be constituting 70% of the overall budget. I think the promise is true to say that the other elements, which are about 10%, represent an unfunded situation. And as a result, that unfunded situation was historically funded from very bad, and we feel the advertisement with, you know, I mean, we have open positions, and most open, money is not doing email for those open positions where we basically utilize to cross-fertilize the underfunded component in our budget. And historically, if you look into the business like where indicators, the excellent condition, you'll see that on average, the savings from salaries of around 5 million euros can be paid over expenditure on other bank lines. In here, I can't for the presentation that I wanted to utilize. It's on our computer, but in the hard copy document, in that copy document as well, we have a listing. And this is a listing of the things that the city aspires to execute. Things that the law requires the city to do. We made mention of provisions within Pecuda specifically. We have Pecuda aspirations. Aspirations in terms of the city, but in terms of the law, I think it's an obligation. It's an obligation. So we have costed the areas where we think in order for the city to be allowed to roll out its legal mandate and roll out its strategic plan, long-term strategic plan to the village. These are things that we have been proposing to National Treasury, and we are still proposing to National Treasury to adjust our baseline width. In summary, we have because in our broad long-term objective is to attain gender equality, not only us as an institution, the CDC, but attain gender equality across gender machinery structures, across all sectors of the society. We have in our aspirations a need basically to have a structured relationship with CSOs, NGOs, because it can only through the gender machinery and the civil society and everybody within the department that the economic aspirations would be restored. So the CG has a plan, a dream, to have a better trainer program so that we can extend our reach through the other entities. And we have constant the need for extra funding to 2 million to achieve that, being a permanent adjustment or a long-term adjustment to the baseline. We spoke about Pecuda. Pecuda has obligated the Commission to do things like investigating systemic unfair discrimination practices. And this unfair discrimination practices, which are systemic, are things like your Uktuala, as we know. I think investigating Uktuala does not take investigating a specific one incident, but it's also it's about researching, understanding what underlies the component of unfair discrimination. So the CGE is obligated, the CGE would want to engage into investigations of similar nature. I must also emphasize that those aspirations are also documented in the chairperson has outlined the focus areas, thematic areas, and for each thematic focal area that we can have that position, there are concept notes, long-term strategies outlined in those documents to achieve sustainable equality. So there are a lot of things that the city would want to undertake, and unfortunately, but for lack of funds, we are proposing a 3 million further appropriation, not through this presentation, but as institution engagement. This is the engagement that we also have with the National Treasury. And the FUDA also put a duty on the Commission to litigate in equality court. And as well, I mean, in order to achieve such equality, I think the city can play a role in changing the law, and they're changing the law with Israel actively litigating, especially on cases that are sent in prison along President Meron's amendment. So we have supplements, in-concept documents that would really propose for funding. There's Africa Agenda in there, the civil nature organization about it. We're already undertaking an activity on this Africa Agenda Index, and we're in assisted by UNEA in funding that. However, it would be for the CG to have adequate resources to be able to fulfill that obligation. We've got activities around access to justice initiatives. We have mostly there. I think we need to involve civil society, members of the public communities, and then there are things in many of the CG concept documents. We have also indicated that now and then we have emerging issues that we normally fail to respond to, and we have some of them which are not funded at all. We are indicating, I think this should be GBG Council, I think there's a type of the microbiologist, our apologist. Today we've spoken about the fact that we have been having a cost subsidization from agencies. Number 8, we will leave it to Parliament. I think there's been an amendment and an effort to harmonize the regulations around the remuneration for office bearers within the institutions supporting democracy. So it's still on course, it's still ongoing in the parliamentary process. We just anticipating that it might, the Parliament will make a determination. For all practical purposes, I think we can omit number 8. And as well, I think when the Chairperson made the presentation, he made emphasis with the fact that in as much as we are relying on people, we are limited in ability to attract and recruit, you know, the ideal professionals within the institution because of our immigration structure. It remains a problem. I think as part you want to explain the preceding amendment, was why we are at the agency. Was the fact that it took long, or even it was even impossible for some of the positions to recruit the right talent. We have interviews and whatever, good people who could not match their asking salaries, as an example. Another, I think we've got responsibility to go and do outreach. I think the issue of unfair discrimination, GBV, within South African environment, I think it's a case for a risk for accessibility and disability of the CG. I think we still have got a long way to teach our people, make policy makers aware of gender equality imperatives. So this is basically a wish list from the CGE, but also the wish being motivated by the aspirations that we have in the constitution to give and I think gender equality. In total, so that comes to about 33 million to be on our issues. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. That's our presentation. Thank you very much for allowing us to finish this.
Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, I think we want to jump down.
Thank you.
your time. Thank you. So, number one will be Honorable
we will really understand each other, but basically I wanted to ask just fundamental issues. One, you said that there would be no interference of organs as the constitution says, but at the same time you say you account to the National Assembly and you have returned your report to the National Assembly. But we are the National Assembly, this committee which you should account to. We haven't seen your report. I don't think I was not there in the last parliament, I was in the province, but I haven't seen your report. They haven't given us the report which you say you have sent to the National Assembly. But the other thing that puzzles me is that you go to Fiji and make presentation on behalf of the country. And then the minister goes there, you go there, we also go there. So three people go in outside saying three different things, which is a problem. I mean, you have been appointed by the National Assembly to represent the country, not to represent yourself, despite that there is no body or no organ that can interfere with the running of the institution as it has been established. But I think before you even go outside, you need to come in account to this National Assembly and tell us exactly what is it that you're going to say outside. That is why you find different organizations in South Africa saying, that it's coming from the same country but saying two different issues and confusing the world as such. So for us to have uniformity and accountability, we need to say one and the same thing. It can be 20 people that they must say the same thing. And then the other thing that that I also wanted to ask, a number of issues in terms of programs. If you say that you go to helping and do outreach programs, or you go on the ground, which you don't have sufficient amount to go on the ground. I think that the logic thing to do was to utilize the state that is already there. There are NGOs that are funded by government, and these NGOs, you don't need to fund them. You just have to use their institutions as a vehicle to meet the community which you want to meet. There are government structures like departments, which you should have already done oversight over them. One of the departments that I can give you an example is the military. I mean, the military and the police have been governments which we have been pushing, that they were male orientated. They are now pushing women into those departments. And these departments are still using the same uniform which they used more than 20 years ago. Females are being worn uniforms that they can't even match in those uniforms. I mean, that is the basis. If you have to put people on an equilibrium, you have to equalize them. It means that the design of clothes, the shift, one of the issues that the trains, we have pushed that women must be trained by us. But the shifts have not changed. Women still go to work at 3 a.m., at 2 a.m. And these women in the process, they are raped by as ruthless people. And why can't you force institutions to change the shift? If we have to equalize, everything must be equalized. It's not a superficial thing. So you don't need money to go to Transnet and say, Transnet, this is what we demand of you to do in terms of gender equality. You know, all those things are things that we should have done in the last 20 years. They don't need money. Money is there available in those departments. All they need to do is to you as a commission to go there and demand to the members, to the managers and say, this is basically what we need to do. When the condition of human rights to change, the simplest thing, these things,
do in townships and everywhere else, you see women using pigs to beg, I think that's what he and these women in the long run will miscarry. And these young women that are digging this, why can't the company get a machine that digs the ground? The woman can operate that particular machine. I mean, these are things that, these are educational issues that you need to orientate the local government. You need to go to companies. If you say you're speaking to companies, which companies are you speaking to? So that when we go and do oversight, we go to the companies and say, ECG was here and you did these programs. How much have you progressed? As a committee, we can go there and say, this is where you have done whatever that you have done, and we see the progress. We need to see progress. I mean, we see women digging all over the country. And people are saying, And equality is not a biological issue. It's not a biological issue. And the whoever is the manager, whoever is the human resource in that particular department or company might understand it's not about biology. It's about empowering human beings to participate in the economy, the running of the economy of this country. So all these things are not there in the papers that I see here. Progress. Where do you do your progress? I don't have issues here. If I want to go to the left and say, Minister, can you improve in terms of budget the commission needs more budget because they're doing 1, 2, 3. I don't know where you're doing. They're not there in the documents. I've read the documents. I can't see where you're doing this program. So I don't have, I can't even go and lobby the minister. So next time when you come and present, give us flesh so that we can engage. Even if it takes the whole day, engaging each other so that we educate each other in terms of our understanding. Maybe it's because our understanding are not in the same level. And that is why we're not moving with the pace that we want to move. And we need to put more people in provinces than in the head office. More people that are on the ground so that they get us going and progress. In liberating women is a very complex issue. It needs clear understanding of exactly what you want to do. Because you will always be ridiculed by whoever you go and make a presentation. Wherever you go, you'll always be ridiculed. So you must be very clear in exactly what it is that you want whatever department to implement on. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Member. You may ask please remember that two have the same.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with the honourable member what you're saying, but I just wanted to find out about the strategic plan. It looks like the strategic objectives which were previously published, they remain unchanged. I just want to know why, because usually objectives, they usually last for 3 to 5 years, and then they're actually reviewed and changed. And looking at strategic objectives one, the thing about monitoring of costs, which I think is about equality, domestic violence, sexual offences, and maintenance. Are there any metrics or reports that you can actually develop to show us how are you dealing with those issues? Strategic objective two is to talk about coordinated programs on forced marriages and early child marriages. And actually also saying that you're engaging with houses of traditional leadership and research sectors. But then we had a case recently of the SABC COO matter in which a woman was given abuse. And that matter was actually referred to the South African Revenge Human Rights Council, and I don't know where the future we can actually elaborate on that. And regarding social objective three, I think about it to monitor state compliance, regional and international conventions. How are we doing regarding that? You know, how much learning are we getting from that? And if you can just show us how we will progress and what have we earned from that. Strategic objective four, we're talking about inward looking to develop strategic and
and colleges. And I'm going to say that you have existed now for 20 years, for more than 20 years, but you're still on policies. You're still writing policies and spending a lot of money on policies. I think you should have policies now that are in place, not developing them, really amending them. Usher, I looked at your budget. You're spending 44% on that inward looking. The other thing is the target of your 108 legal clinics. What are they doing? Can anyone go into your clinic to seek counseling and eventually lodge complaints, or just no way of generating complaints? Women empowerment programs during the National Women's Month. There are a lot of activities that are done there. We just want to find out exactly what also is being done during the time. You're asking for more funding. We need to know exactly what you need the funding for, because when we looked at the finances, we're spending about 58% on salaries and 8% on outreach and visibility. I think, you know, visibility is very important. We need women to know that they exist, and why are we spending 8% on visibility and outreach? Thank you, Sheldon.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. An after presenter from the Commission, towards the end of his presentation, made the comment that they still want to members of this Parliament sensitize them about gender-related issues. Honorable Chairperson, you know, I think I need to point this out, that this government is the first and the only government in the history of South Africa that is vigorously pursuing the agenda of gender equality. Since 1994, this government has passed laws to promote gender equality. Your very existence as a commission attests to the commitment of this government to achieve this gender equality. So we're only clear as government, I'm very clear as the African National Congress, about achieving gender equality. At the age of 17, 18, I was saying, when I first entered into politics about gender equality, there is a very clear issue about gender equality. We make no mistake about it. You know what you have to achieve. I'm making this point because I'm to bring this issue about the myth that honourable member has raised about the commission and the member next to me regarding your entry and existence yourself, because you policy. Remember that I stated, where is the meet? We had the presentation of the chairperson of the commission. So we've seen a lot of work. There's a lot of work that has been done. We had about your strategic objectives, the sub objectives. A lot of things are happening. But why, after 20 years, and all this has happened, why is there no gender equality? Why is there no gender equality? And I still want to make this point there, you raised the issue about India, Utwana. I'm telling you, there's no, only economically disadvantaged women can be Utwana. Economically advantaged women can never be colored. So we need, as a commission, must say, where's the problem? Where's the problem? It's focus on the problem and rectifying what is causing the gender equality in the country. What caused the gender equality in the country? And I still say, it is economics. And the commission must be focused on that. Say, let us get it right in order to deal and address the issue of gender equality. Well, we'll never get it right. Coming to the issue of the meat, let us take government, for example. Let's take government department, national, professional, local government. Let's take them. Because you want more money. So you become a program, so you can hold tell the minister you want money. Come with programs, there are no programs you're coming with us. Take government department. So if you achieve gender equality in government department, if you come here for the program, you have to let's say local government. How many municipalities are there in this country? Hundreds of them. You raise no in the booklet of yours I've read here, you raise the issue of local municipalities, and then you'll say, I don't like the way you present it. Senior managers, so many women, so many males. That's clear and simple about it. Hundreds of municipalities, and I'm very, very long in politics, and it's a shame that I've never met a female, a woman, MM. I've never met a woman, MM. There is hundreds and hundreds of municipalities in the country. Can this commission tell us how many women minimal managers do we have in the country? Can you tell us, I'm a woman? I've never educated and I've never met a woman municipal manager, and I'm probably very wrong, I've never met a woman. I mean, why is that? Because either there's not. Either because we are telling ourselves here that we can't find women as competent enough to be municipal managers, or the commission is not doing a role on monitoring, evaluation, and implementation. And I think the commission has focused on monitoring, because the laws are there, the systems are in place. Monitoring and implementation, that's what the commission must focus on. And then there's the issue of MMs in the country. It's a simple thing. Just come and say, here's the problem, you want money. Let us all look. I don't think you can tell me how many minutes of that. I'll say there's zero. In case there's zero. And many problems, there's zero. So there's no people, females. But what message are we sending out here? There's no women that's committed enough. Let's start with the government department. After 20 years, what should we achieve? That's what we must do. Because you see, I have a problem, you know, with documents. I would like to read the document that the chairperson of the commission say here, government department. I really would like to read this document because I like to read. You know, documents are amazing. The documents and paper was amazing. It's beautiful stuff you read in paper. And I always say to me, myself, when I take a decision here or say something here, it must have that effect on the woman or the person on the ground there. Whatever we do, we must, in the morning when we get up and we come into the committee or you go to your commission, we say, today, what am I going to do? How is it going to affect a certain person's life on the ground there? Whatever the effect, that person must feel the impact of what you're doing in parliament. Because if that person does not feel that impact, it is useless. It's like what my coach used to tell me, I have to be a good soccer player, to travel and to all sorts of things to the point, to shout beautiful, beautiful nonsense. But I've been doing a lot of things to the point, but there are no real impact. It's the same thing here, we can put on the thing. If there's no impact on the lives of the individual there in the rural, that woman in the rural area, that woman that's applying for a job in the municipality, but she's overlooked work. There's only municipal management in this country. Then we're not making any real change. And those are the kind of problems that I want to see. I want to see problems of any leadership, women leadership in government. Provincial government, national government, provincial government. I think national government, provincial government make some progress, especially local government. I want to see problems where you bring women in. Not in leadership, but in heading those of institutions. Look at that, there must be women heading municipal. I want to see women getting empowered economically. In government, in the private sector, in money, in farming, women must be empowered. But they have to win, but will they change this gender equality? So this is caused by economic. That kind of problem that the commission must try and pursue to try and change the society of ours. But we want to change society. Thank you. Sorry for talking so long.
Sorry. Thank you, Chair. In the interest of brevity and time, I'm not going to repeat a lot of what has been said. I agree with much of them, and my colleague here has been quite succinct in what she said. But I just want to ask about the courts and the processes that you have been monitoring. I agree that we need to get greater insight into what you're actually doing, so that we can follow up as well. So I think we need to have closer involvement with some of the things that are real issues so that we can assist you, because as parliamentarians and people who work in the constituencies, I think in fact we are the people who have to make these changes or help to make them, and of course the government who has to implement. You can't do anything to implement, but you can identify the problem. So yes, I'm particularly interested in the courts and the monitoring and knowing what you're doing. Also the details of what Women's Day programs are you going to run and where are these manuals, the things that you were saying about training and teaching people. My major concern is with rural people, people in the distant and deep rural communities who don't reach us or whom it is difficult to reach. So I'd like to have a look at have an example of what you are actually putting out in the field so we can see it and help to spread it. And then we use this term gender machinery so often. Can you just tell me exactly what the gender machinery is? Thank you.
Thanks, honourable members. I have a question. And my question will be directed to the chairperson. One moment, before we start. There's a section 119. The commission shall consist of a chairperson and no fewer than 7 and no more than 11 members for the commission. I can't understand, actually. I'm holding it to you because of what you feel. You feel the gender commission for Dr. Benji. You have worked with the church organization. You worked with the NGO. But your budgeting, unfortunately, most of the 3/4 of the slice of the cake is for a satisfaction. And the very people who are doing the most work, you call them field workers, you call them whatever, are only getting even less than a 1/4 slice of the cake. I don't even understand. I don't think there's a way you can actually convince me thus far why you've changed your system of people who have been working in provinces, people who are now actually armed with all the information from the very bottom of those provinces, the field records. Okay? You've moved those people to the side, leaving a vacuum that has a serious impact on the work that should be done for the meeting. And since it's here as a committee of the women in presidency, we are also going to be doing oversight. We're not going to spare you. And from the pressure, always, you know, what's the pressure? The last straw is, if my memory serves me right, is still talking of basis. Where? And how are you going to actually put the bill? With the present structure, it means more money will be spent on travel. That's why people are using their own vehicles, they'll be claiming. Whereas that could be prevented by having people, you know, establishments in the different 9 provinces. And working together with the other structures that could be. That will actually give us a very clear picture. We work together. You know what building is in Tana. We've been underdogs as women. I'm a veteran today. It's heartbreaking. Women are just floor scrubbers, irrespective of the quality they have. Time for men to be bullied, to come back. And we say today, we have to empower our women economically. Actually, you've been doing all this work, but it's just that we are wearing skirts, starting under them.
I can place here and now. When I went to Ethiopia on gender issues, I was shocked. I saw a 14-year-old being handed over to a dowdy foreigner just for money. Why do we do that? And if we were working together as men and women, we could even overcome the thing of sugar daddy. I'm not going to point. The fact of the matter is, let the women lead the way. I don't say we'll leave you behind, we'll be holding your hand. But don't look at us as appendages. They will overcome. Because we want equality. How many of women economically? And women are able to do that because you leave us in the farms and you come to the big cities and have another wife, you forget about the woman with 7 kids that you've left behind. But none of those children have actually died. The woman would always make sure the food on the table for those children. Join us in the fight. Diligently. And then we will come. Yes, Honorable Madam.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for your comments and report and presentation. Given the nature and scope of the work that is undertaken by DGE, a provincial office has the authority, both provincial and financial, to deliver the mandate. And the other question is, maybe next time, if you can give us the list of focal points in rural areas where the CGE is visible to the people and the NGOs and the NGOs in the rural areas. And the other thing is whether do you have any dialogue with the council and the government with regard to gender equality? For mostly in those areas, you still have a way to maintain that we are no longer going to be led by women. Thank you.
I forgot this question. I just wanted to ask the commission if it has gone to farm areas just to educate women that are farming on farms, because we have had a number of positions in farm areas. And have they ever subpoenaed these farmers in terms of human rights that they are violating all over them?
Thank you, members. Over to you.
Thank you very much to honorable members for those questions and also ways of advice on how the commission should actually move forward. Really appreciate that, sir. And I'm not going to say the questions alone. All the commissioners have always said questions, but I'm not going to take one or two or three, because I do the title as chair, and I'm going to allow that. When we talk about gender, and I want to remind the members of the NGO chair that there are autonomous issues that are also guided by the CGE Act on three pillars, which is we need to educate community, we need to do more effective evaluation. When it comes to implementation, the act does not allow us to actually implement and keep people safe. So that's another thing, it's an emotional vote. But Chair, yes, we have 11 members. There's this, we always try and explain it, and the CFO is going to explain it. People look, it's not that this is what's been called to present the plan on our own to oppose. We're becoming again to present our annual report in September and October, which is going to actually assist us to say where have we been as a commission in the last financial year to say going to this is what we've done, this is what we've actually coming after that. This is the plan. saying is something they're going for to the Indian current financial aid, is not anything that you could do. But, and the problem, but I actually submit to the committee that our parliamentary officer is going to actually compile all the research documents we provide and submit them to the portfolio committee so we can see the work that was done. Within the next 3 weeks, that is also in your pitching committee, so we are going to give it to the chair so that you are able to understand the I know that you do, but at least you have the size of what you do. When it comes to the issues related to provincial offices, check. The records that do education, education officers are still in provinces. And the legal officer who takes the complaints, they are still in the province. The only people that moved to head office are researchers who are doing the question is why. And I think what we've identified in the past few years is that it's difficult to manage the researchers. They can still go and when they're in the province. Therefore, they need to, they could only go to the field to actually collect data and have them. They also work with the researchers and legal officers and education officers in the cloud. It's one of the issues that we've been raising with us. And so I know that they're continuing to speak, you know, but I'm just actually sure that you must bring these people back. So it's going to be another and so forth. But the subject is that I think in terms of the documentation, in terms of that, we also answer to that in terms of why we've changed. The issue of local government, honourable members, we look at one of the national generation. The national generation, project generation, is a policy general. Policy framework for gender equality and women empowerment in South Africa, which was adopted in 2000. That framework states that we need to have a national gender commission that is comprised of the Commission for Gender Equality. This the law was not been amended, the committee on material with women's issues, the committee on women's caucus, non-governmental organizations of the federal and the local government. That's the factual way all of us come together. But the three entities, Parliament, the Commission for Gender and the Media Ministry, we come together and we are able to digest and discuss issues of gender equality. Local government is also included. The local government as well, they have their own women commission, which they will deal with some of these issues. But after the commission, what we've done to monitor that, well, actually not a big entity, where if I establish what we call public here, where we call institutions, the mayor for my local authority to educate the name of the woman, but they've taken her away. So, but there are very few. What we've done as a gender commission, we don't have the numbers now, how many women, how many masculine men, but that information, I think, I used to tell the coalition for that. But what I've done with the gender commission, going to the elections like this one, we assessment to check. But what I'm absolutely saying, what I remember is that in the local government, instead of going forward, we are going back. We are actually in the government. It's not to actually achieve the gender commission. But I think that's another area. And as a gender commission, what is actually said in the previous dinner of commissioners we had was that we need to engage SAGA, and I think we're introducing to SAGA to meet with them as well, and the minister, to engage the minister on this issue as well. So, as I'm saying, also we need your assistance as well in some of these issues. So I think I will also take our questions and so on, and if I see that other commissioners are not actually taking those, but also sometimes the legislation would also dictate as well as what you're supposed to do. And in terms of what you would name governmental organization, these commissioners have different indicators to all staff members to say, Western Cape is not ETA, KZN is not ETA, Limpopo is not Polo 1. Therefore, Mpumalanga is not NESPRIT. Therefore, we are saying to our own staff members, they must go to their area and make sure that they work with the community. case that started dealing with in Kumalak, where a 28-year-old was staying with a man in the rural area. And the commission went that night with the police using the search and seizure power, and they were able to actually assist those two children and that man was also arrested. So there's a number that is that they were presenting against. So when you present, I think we need to actually meet each other halfway to make sure that this issue, and even maybe the previous annual report of the commission was just required. And I will also ask the commissioner that to take other issues, so then see whether we are able to get the submission. I can see Commissioner Portal's hand is up for so by commissioner I will actually give you the chair and I want to show this point in so that we can respond to this question.
Well, I honourable members, honourable chair, I think a lot of questions that have been raised are very fundamental. One is to say, without wanting to you can't be defensive. This is questions that goes to the heart of the work that we do. But I just want to talk about someone mentioned one of the honourable members spoke about the prophet that working the cloud modeling CEO from SABC. To say that, in fact, just a correction that this was not to the Human Rights Commission, was to the Commission for Gender Equality. It was just a mistake that another member said, just reported to the Commission, and the Commission took up the measure. But where are things, if you may ask, as we speak now, that the chiefs or the House of Traditional Leaders in the area have come out to say that this is not a vendor. Culture and this and what happened, and as we speak now, honourable members, the house has disassociated themselves, if you like, from giving away the wife, and but one has to say that it's what we are faced with and dealing with as a commission. That's what one answer to. But it isn't theoretical. Something I want to talk about is that. And then the commission about the economic aspects of occupational and other things that I could not agree more with you. But let's go back a step and say that, Jefferson and other members, that what we see in the country about gender-based violence, about disempowerment of women, is in fact representative of where women are well, and where the society is. So all of us are in fact responsible. Yesterday I went to the University of Pretoria, just to give you an example, they were launching the agenda tool to look at the university in the country. Where are they? And that something that I said to the commission was, I was even surprised that they were surprised that there were no women in critical, substantive leadership positions. And the point I made yesterday was that what we see at the university is in fact a mirror of what this society is all about. So I just want to say, Chairperson, that these things, there is a particular context, and there is a particular content, and that context and content is what the city is faced with. But obviously, it can do so much with what is at its hand, at its disposal. And I am privileged in that, as a part-time commissioner, I also work in an NGO, and to say that there is a clear commitment, and that's happening on a daily basis, from the commission to work with. And the other member has mentioned to work with NGOs. For them, what you could do or we do is really take piggyback on the problems that they are already existing, so that you also don't reinvent the wheel. But I in fact want to say that the issue of the transformation in the police, in the military, all of them, all of members, are in fact coming back and mirroring all of us where we are as a country. I will stop.
Thank you, Honourable Member Shepherdson. I just wanted to respond to what is happening in police and the military. As the commission, we have a report. We have done employment equity hearings with those institutions. We can tell you offhand, in the police, women are warrant officers. The ones that you see in the many townships, boundaries and all that, those are, most of the women are sitting there and they go up with males. and we have raised it with we called provincial commissioners on the military. In the military this year came to the commission asking to get our thoughts about the employment equity hearings. They actually are submitting themselves to the commission to assist them, especially the military ombudsman, on issues of gender. But I must also hasten to say that we also visited the ESCOM, but you will get our thoughts. We subjected them to an employment equity hearing, and we found out where are the women. What we found out in the private sector, women actually are sitting at what is called a succession plan of the company. They are called pipeline. They are being trained because the older employees have not moved from those positions, and therefore it is slower the transformation of getting women to the position. So they are trained, and what the private sector has done to then have managers for units. But I must also listen to say, in 20 years, I think that the government has, it was a proud moment for us to look at ESCOM, because we met many young people doing complicated work, even the night shift work, and we actually asked about the working conditions. And I must say that ESCOM is actually exploring to look at the issues of night shift work and standby work, because women they actually repair the line that they have. It's such a beautiful thing to see in 2 years how much we have moved. But we also think that the skills development needs to be upped in terms of women participation. So we are doing work on the working conditions of women. I want to go to municipalities and say, we also call municipalities. What we have discovered is actually the political interference. We are unable to get through the employee who is coming to our hearing, because the employee will say, my bosses are the ones who are bringing truckloads of mail into the workplace. So we have found out that, I know that we actually have different departments in our hearing, and we found so many truckloads of mail in district municipalities, different government departments, where we found that probably the political is bringing males into a work institution. And we are actually discouraging that, but it seems as if a transformation has hit a brick wall in the government institution. I also want to mention that there was a question about gender national. I want you,
do you have the information around what you're referring to as political interference? You don't have to say it here.
We went to a program, and we had in this department, the head of the department could not tell us what is happening, and she is the one, and the district mayor somewhere in that province actually indicated that we have the employment equity. We want to adhere to what the commission is saying, but the political interference will bring males into the case. We have that. We can have a one-on-one discussion of that. But in our report, in fact, we have returned to that province to just raise issues. But we also felt that the gender missionary was actually removed from one effective monitoring level, and it was taken to a department and we've raised that with that legislature. So we are working. We're trying to indicate to you that there is work that is happening behind the scene. The other issue that we want to bring to you, in our monitoring of the court cases, yesterday we were in Hammanskraal. The law actually takes so long. This woman has been waiting for 7 years for justice to take court, and the man has been on bail for the past 7 years, having committed a crime, wanted to kill her, and he left her to die, thinking that she has passed on, and the woman is justice, and it's been 7 years in court, and also the issues of access to court for women. So we have a lot that we'll share when we talk about what we do and the tangible things that we do. The other issues that you raised, we appreciate them, and I think for me it helps
the commission, and we will write the things further. But we also wanted to highlight to you that even our budget, we don't go to the department to say to the department, this is what we want to do this year. The department decides on its own to give us maybe 5% or 2% or 5 years or 5%. So this is what has been happening. So we move from one spot, we move from constitutional development, then we went to women's ministry, and now we're moving to another one. But this is a chapter 9 problem. On the end of this, the last one. So previously, I think that the portfolio committee has made the issue of us working with NGOs. We want to indicate that we have improved on working with NGOs and the outreach program. We actually have now a comprehensive database that involves community-based organizations as well. So we have also included a broadened our outreach. We go to Orange Farm, we go to different districts where these youths, where there are problematic areas, we also go to there. So we have improved a lot, but it's something that we will discuss when we have more time. Mm-hmm.
Okay, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and the committee members. We really appreciate the opportunity to be able to come here and present our annual plan. But just to respond to some of the questions, I think they are quite needy, the questions. So I think they do mean that we have to engage much more with one another. And also the issue of the report that has been prepared by the Commission. And I think as someone who also comes from the issue of environment and the trade union environment, I need to indicate that when you are outside the Commission, you do have an idea of what the Commission is doing. And if you are able to accept the website of the Commission, you get some information about the Commission as well. But as I'm inside now, I'm discovering a lot more of what the Commission is doing. And I think that the Commission's weakness is the fact that they can't choose their own. But I believe that the Commission has done much more than what I thought before I became a member of the Commission. And also to say that on the issue of the trial, I think that we need to look at the social aspect as well. Actually. It's not just an economic thing. If there's a social aspect to trial, there's a political aspect to trial, because it's an issue of power, who got power, who doesn't have power. On the social side, we've lived with patriarchy since we were born. And patriarchy has been around almost since human beings have been around. Because if you say that how did we evolve as human beings, first of all, to the beginning there was no inequality. We were all equal, as men and women. But as our societies evolved and became much more specialized in the way in which we produce, in the way in which we get our food, and all of this. And this is where the inequality came in, because that is where you begin to get other people appropriating what belongs to the community for themselves. And I think this is where we come from. We come from equality to a system of inequality. And I think patriarchy came just at that particular time, when there began to be differences between poor men and rich men. Women and women, you know, and this is where we come from with patriarchy. And I think the problem with patriarchy is that it works through all the societal institutions. Whether we're talking education, there's patriarchy in education. So you have to be consciously dealing with reading educational patriarchy. When it comes to politics, there's patriarchy in politics, so you must do all that. Again, with the religion and culture. Uktwala came about as something that was done when two families are not on good terms and the two lovers want to get married. That's how it came about in the colonial era, which meant that these people then agree that you are going to twala me, and then the families will get off because already some kind of damage, if you like, has happened. But it was not under age people. Yes, it was not under age people.
other to cancel the other social concerns that they're experiencing. So, but now it has become something that is used by mothers, because I see mothers playing a role in Otwala these days. They talk to this old man, and their daughter is then Twilight, or once the daughter has been Twilight. It's easy for them to accept it, and that is the economic aspect of it. It means that as a society, we need to be addressing social, economic issues as well, so that we are able to say there is no one who is vulnerable, there is no one who is compelled to do things that are not good for them. From the Amakosi, yes, we are talking to Amakosi, even as I sit here, I'm expected to attend a meeting in Mpumalanga on the 36th, where we will be in conversation with the traditional leaders. And I think that as the commission, we are working, one of the focal areas that we're working on is economic development. And we are very concerned about the fact that only 2% of the economy is on trilemia. And we are planning to address the issue. But to understand that we have to address it in partnership with other role players, other stakeholders. So we will be talking to some CPOs, we'll be talking to some political parties, we'll be talking to other NGOs to try and address the particular issue. Because I think after 20 years, it's an enlightenment against the country. That is all we have been able to do. Thank you, Chairman.
The program right now, we are actually in a course, but we have plenary now as a school. But I don't know what the other members, how they feel, but I think whereby we need to have time and we are outside a lot of other things. And because I think you also aware that we are nearing the Women's Month and preparations will be going on, but Chatterton, I think we are going to be Tinder as usual when we plan around those issues. But three, avail yourselves to have another, the second phase of the deliberation, because we have to move in fast and avoid working in silos. That's my three. I don't know what the other people are saying. I don't know if you want anything to say. And I'll propose that the chairperson can actually send responses to us in writing, so that by the time we prepare for the second discussion group, we will look at those responses. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For everything.
Thank you. Thank you.